from the Indianapolis Star. Zach Osterman joins us. Zach, good morning. How are you? Maybe if I hit the right magical button. Now Zach is with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Now you're here. Are you frozen? Right. Are you ready to get up to East Lansing? Did you like that forecast? You probably didn't, did you?
No, it's going to be an interesting drive home tomorrow, isn't it?
It is. Well, take your time. And again, be safe on all of that. And no point in hurrying. The hurrying Hoosiers, on the other hand, you were in Lincoln to see them open their Big Ten season on the road victoriously. Indiana showed some signs of excellence in that game, Zach, as they ran out to a 16-point lead in the first half. Had what, a 13-14 point lead in the second half, but yet had to hang on. But when you talk about Big Ten road games, it's all about the W. Nobody really cares about style points, do they?
No, and especially I think with a team, I mean, that's their first true road game, and a team that was picked to finish, you know, anywhere from 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th in the Big Ten. Like you said, any road win in the Big Ten for a team like this that seems to be growing into something more than what we thought it was, but certainly hasn't, I guess, reached that just yet. It's not style that counts so much as just substance.
It doesn't. And the other thing that jumped off the page to that game on New Year's Eve that we're talking about as we set up Indiana's trip tonight to East Lansing, Yogi Ferrell, how many points did he have? James Blackman, how many points? Well, I guess didn't they have combined, but they found other ways to contribute. That's a sign of pretty good leadership. That's a sign of a pretty good basketball player and basketball players, because Blackman helped out on the glass and Yogi obviously helped out in the distribution.
Well, and even Tim Miles, I think, credited Yogi Ferrell's sort of demeanor and poise in the second half. He said that Ferrell was the one that was getting his teammates to sort of calm down, collected, you know, providing, I guess, that character and that leadership that you talked about at the top. Even though I think he only scored 5 points in that game, as you said, he had 8 assists and only 1 turnover. It was just kind of that veteran presence that Indiana needs. There are a lot of positives to be taken away from that. I mean, the other thing I'd say about Nebraska is they haven't gotten it all to connect this year, and I'm not really sure why, but there's still a lot of talent there if you look at what they accomplished last season. And that's not an easy place to play. A lot of people don't realize that. But Pinnacle Bank Arena is Nebraska's new facility, and they fill it up, and they get loud in there. So I think it's a road win to build upon. Obviously, it's not quite like what Indiana will see tonight, though, in East Lansing.
Well, the good news about the Pinnacle Bank Arena is that the Nebraska students were on vacation as well. That'll be the case tonight in East Lansing. Incarnate Word had no problem beating Nebraska at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. We have a little bit of fun at Nebraska's expense with that, one of those black eye wins in the out of conference against the Big Ten. The other part of the IU road tour, as you mentioned, that was their first true road game of the year. You can only beat who's in front of you. And if Indiana starts off 2-0 in the Big Ten season, both games on the road, how dramatically do expectations change for this ball club moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think they have to. And again, I don't think anybody is going to reach the same level as Wisconsin this year, at least not without proving it, not without starting, you know, 10-2 in conference or something like that. But, I mean, the race for second, third is wide open. And yeah, I think you have to put Indiana into that race if they start their, you know, the last time they went 2-0 in their first two Big Ten road games was 2012-13, but that was Iowa and Penn State. I mean, this would be a more significant statement to win two tough road games against two teams that, well, they're struggling now, certainly, were sort of widely recognized as NCAA tournament caliber teams in the preseason.
Nobody's going to mistake Nebraska for Michigan State. We understand that, and I think that's why tonight's game sends more of a larger message. This Michigan State team that I've seen play 3 or 4 times this year is about as offensively challenged as I can remember any Tom Izzo team being. I tell you what, I think Indiana's got a really good chance tonight of bringing home another victory.
I mean, I think they do. I think you've got to keep, you know, the one thing about Michigan State is they've got the tools. You've got to keep some of those guards in check. I mean, this is going to be a real test of Indiana's ability. How do they match up defensively? What do they do defensively? I wouldn't be surprised to see them throw a fair amount of zone at Michigan State.
They can't score, Zach. I watched them against Maryland. I watched them earlier in the season. They cannot score the basketball comfortably. They need junk buckets around the rim, and Indiana's going to be tested on the glass tonight. That's what's going to keep them at Michigan State at arm's length to me. No easy baskets at the rim.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't dispute that at all. I'd also just point out Indiana does have the worst scoring defense in the Big Ten, one of the least efficient defenses in the Big Ten. So, I mean, it's going to be a test of can Indiana in Big Ten play face bad offenses and do something with that, not make bad offenses look good. Because we have seen that happen at times this year in the non-conference when Indiana's played some teams that looked similarly challenged offensively but had success just because Indiana is not the best defensive unit.
True or false, when Yogi Ferrell leads Indiana in scoring, they will be a better basketball team?
I would say, I don't know.
I argue it's false. I think the more people, like you saw at Nebraska, that he gets involved, Indiana is harder to guard. They're harder to manipulate on defense. And again, makes for more angles to be one of the best teams in scoring in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where I fall, too. I mean, I guess a lot of it just kind of depends. I mean, at the same time, I think Robert Johnson has proven himself capable of running the offense. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get shots for Yogi Ferrell as well. Because he is such a good shooter off the catch, and we saw last year how good of a shooter he was, even when teams were crowding him out of the game plan every single possession. But I would tend to agree with you. I think that Indiana's better when he's the guy pulling the strings, not just finding shots.
And rifling off 18, 19, or 20 of them either. It seems that Indiana gets really easy to guard when that's happened. We've seen that before. Zach Osterman's our guest. He's the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers for the Indianapolis Star. You can follow him at Zach Osterman on Twitter to get all the insight and all the columns and everything else. And I don't want to look ahead to Ohio State on Saturday, but again, that's not a team that's blown anybody's doors off as well. Iowa went into it. What's going on with the Big Ten? Is anything going according to Hoyle besides Maryland and Wisconsin?
Well, and I don't know that.
What is Maryland?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maryland's good. I've seen them play three times. They're good.
I don't know that that was actually that was expected anywhere, maybe outside of College Park. But
they haven't been ranked in 3 years or something.
I think the big issue for me is we've seen a lot of talent, and this is, you know, predictable, come through the Big Ten in the last few years. If you look at what the Big Ten has sent to the pros from 2011 or 12 through, you know, the last three seasons. And for any number of reasons, that talent has not been replaced, not at the level that it needed to be. I mean, in 2012, you saw guys like Hardaway leave for the NBA. I'm kind of blanking just a little bit here, but who else? Like
Trey Burke.
Well, Burke stayed for another year, but then those guys are replaced by the Trey Burks, the Cody Zellers, the Gary Harrises. Then that generation left for the NBA, and you had sort of one more round to replace them. You had some guys stick around at Michigan State. You had obviously Stauskas and Robinson and Karis LeVert emerge at Michigan. Noah Vonleh comes into Indiana. Now that last year's group is gone, you just have not seen another sort of wave of talent take over, not at the level that you'd expect anyway. I mean, you've still got some very good freshmen like D'Angelo Russell, like James Blackman Jr. You've still got a good, solid top
Melo
line.
Trimble for Maryland can play.
Of the Big Ten in terms of Yogi Ferrell, Frank Kaminsky, Karis LeVert, some of those guys. But I don't think you've seen just the total tonnage of talent replaced. If you look at what you said the league was in the NBA's eyes a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I don't think it's anywhere near that this year. And it's not all about NBA talent, but just when the overall level of talent dips, I think you're going to have the kind of year that you're seeing this year where we don't know enough about anybody to say for certain where Team A or Team B or Team C fits into the landscape, because everybody's just kind of come back to the middle, again, aside from Wisconsin.
Well, and I think the other layer you add to that, you talk about the talent on the floor. I think let's not forget about the talent on the bench. There are some very good coaches in the Big Ten, and they might not have everything figured out on January 5th. I don't think you should rate the league now. I think, obviously, not you in general. You should wait middle of February, end of February. So these teams have played a few road games. So these teams have found out some rotations, have shuffled out, panned for gold, found out who's going to play, who's not going to play. And then these coaches, I think, will have their team. And you see this when the season ends. Usually the cream finds a way to rise to the top.
Well, and the reality is, I mean, the Big Ten is still well-regarded enough, and frankly, college basketball itself is kind of a little bit mediocre this year. I think this is still a league that gets 5, 6, maybe 7 teams into the tournament. The one question you really have to ask in the Big Ten is, does it suss itself out fast enough for there to be true quality wins come February and March? Like, what's a quality win in the Big Ten right now?
I don't think you'll know that until the end of the month.
Winning at Michigan State, winning at Ohio State.
Beating Michigan.
Well, that's, I don't think that is right now.
Right now it's not, I agree. Michigan State's 9-5, Zach. If Indiana goes in there and beats them tonight, they're 9-6.
But it's still a win in East Lansing.
It is, but if Michigan's, so, I mean,
that would be respected, I think, by the committee on Selection Sunday.
Michigan State
was on the bubble as well.
If Michigan State goes 17-15, that win doesn't look as good. If Nebraska, who is now 8-5, if they end up going, 12 and whatever it is, how does that weigh out? I think the point of the matter is, and I think we're both saying this in two different ways, keep winning. Don't worry about what that win is worth today. Go win in East Lansing. Go beat Ohio State and Penn State at home. And next thing you know, you're 4-0 in league play and probably in the driving seat.
Yeah, well, at least, again, outside of Wisconsin. I just can't see anybody in this league coming up against Wisconsin. Nobody saw Michigan winning outright last year.
That's right.
Well,
and Indiana beat at number 3 Wisconsin right here in Bloomington last year when the Badgers were number 3 in the country. Had won how many in a row? And again, it's a funny old game. It's 40 minutes, and we'll see tonight if the Hoosiers can perch themselves. You win 2 in a row on the road in the Big Ten, you've got to be talked about, and that's what we're doing this morning. Hey, safe travels. I know it's going to be a bear coming back. Take your time, and hopefully you bring back a victory with you.
Sounds good, Glass. Thanks for having me on.
Zach Osterman, the Indy Star. He's the beat writer for your Indiana Hoosiers. Follow Zach at Zach Osterman on Twitter for all of the insight and links to his columns and everything else. And we appreciate his time as he's getting ready to get his dog sled ready to go up to East Lansing. Mush! Mush!